Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Today we're going to continue our study that we've entitled Confidence. And as we think about confidence, how to know it, get it, and live it, we've been looking at passages of Scripture where we do find that term and find that word. And today we're going to look at three verses that are found in the book of Proverbs. I hope you're a fan of Proverbs. What a great book it is. This catalog of wisdom that God has given us. It doesn't read like a narrative, a story. It doesn't read organized like a letter, which some of the literature of the Bible is. But it's just a catalog of items of wisdom stated over and over again. And I hope you're a fan of Proverbs, the collected wisdom. Most of the wisdom of Proverbs comes from the pen of Solomon, as he was inspired by the Spirit of God to write these words. But we're going to look at those. But first of all, I want to introduce you to a man, a businessman, and you can just bring up his picture there if you would. His name was Charles. He was from Boston, Massachusetts. And back in the 1920s, he had a very amazing business. He began his business in January, first of the year, January 1920. He started an investment house where people could invest, and he would invest and obviously return a profit on their investment. That was the hope. First month, he had $1,800 invested with him, which was a tidy sum, actually, in 1920. But that's where he began. But he began to be able to beat the odds. In those days, banks typically would pay you 5% on your interest in something you deposit in the bank. Some of us wish we could get that now. But that's what they were paying. But he was returning. In fact, in the first 45 days, the early investors got a 50% return on their investment. Well, people like this, right? So people started bringing in money and money and money. By the beginning of July, same year, started in January, by the beginning of July, people were investing and sending money to the tune of $1 million a week into his investment firm. And by the end of July, $1 million a day. That was from January to July. In August, he was arrested for running a scam. $65 million was gone. He was arrested. It was all a fraud. And his full name was Charles Ponzi. And you have to be really bad to have a crime named after you, the Ponzi scheme. And the way it works was, rather than investing and making money in a real way, the early investors were paid with money from the later investors. So at the beginning, it looked legit. The money's coming in. And most people, rather than cashing out their profits, I mean, if you're on a good run, you just keep the money there. So most of the profits were just on paper. And then it all came crashing down. Interestingly, when it was all discovered, 75% of the Boston police force had invested money in Ponzi's firm because they had confidence in him. And that's where you get the name a confident scheme or a con man. So today we want to talk about to trust or not to trust. There are some places we should not have confidence, and Proverbs are going to talk to us about it. And put that against the backdrop of the contrast of where we should find our source of confidence in life. I think all of us probably have had some experience in life where we have trusted in something or someone or some scheme, and we wound up lesser for it and usually a little lighter in the wallet for it, or even worse. So let's look at that. Take you to here in Proverbs 25, and we're going to look first of all at verse 19. And we'll just start with this idea before we read the Scriptures. Confidence comes from trusting in the right person. Now, I don't think I need to worry about spoilers because I think you know where we're heading, but it's a good reminder to us this morning. Well, Proverbs 25, verse 19, if you'll find your way in the Bible, and I love our times together when we all gather around the Word of God. I love hearing the pages of your Bibles turn. I know some of you use electronic devices, and that's okay, but we're here to study God's Word. What a privilege that is. So here we are, chapter 26, verse 19. And if I can find it in my Bible, I did this in the early service. It's 25:19. Excuse me. From now on, I'll be able to read my own notes, I hope. 25:19. I'm sorry. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, you might want to laugh when you see that metaphor. You might wince when you read that metaphor. It's like, ouch, we can immediately relate to that. Now notice there's an important word in the verse that we need to understand. It says confidence in an unfaithful or unreliable man. It's not just man. It doesn't say don't trust anybody. All men are crooked and wicked and that sort of thing. Yes, we're marked with sin. We understand that. But he's not saying you can't trust people, but we got to be careful how we do it. It always has some risk. We start with this. Trusting in an unfaithful man is risky at best. And this is the unreliable, the unfaithful, the person you can't count on, the person that isn't what they appear to be, whose character is their own benefit, not any benefit or concern for others. Someone who will bend the rules or just outright break the rules in order to get ahead. He said, in that sense, in a time of trouble, you're going to have additional discomfort and pain and trial. Rather than in your time of trouble, things get easier. In your time of trouble, things are going to get more difficult if you trust in the wrong person. So we just start with this. In trusting an unfaithful man is risky. So God, by his word, reminds us to have our eyes wide open. Just be cautious. Now, we can trust people, and there's people in our world that we trust, that sort of thing, but just be careful. Because if we pick the wrong person, or we put trust that really belongs to God into people, he says it's going to hurt us. It says a bad tooth. About a year ago, suddenly I got this enormous pain in the tooth. I'd never had this before in my life. I mean, it was just instantly excruciating. And I made arrangements to go see my dentist, who happens to be in the room this morning. And give me some relief. So I go in, and he starts doing whatever dentists do in your mouth. I've never really been able to see because you don't have that vantage point. And he says, you know, I know it's sore. I can't tell exactly which tooth it is. To which I replied, exact quote, "Why don't you just start pulling them until you find the right one, Doc? I need some relief." And I just can't believe you all just laughed at my pain like that. Looking for some sympathy. So he gave me some medicine next day, found the right tooth and fixed it. But it was like, it was just, when it's that kind of pain, it overwhelms you. And you think about it, you think about this with a foot as well. I mean, you're going to have to go somewhere at some point. So your mobility, you can't get away from it. You're going to have to eat something, drink something. You can't get away from it. He says, it's that kind of thing that you're going to get in that you can't get away from it. If you put your trust in the wrong person. So he says, I want you to just have your eyes wide open about this. And again, this is going to form a contrast to where our real confidence comes from. Now, before we talk about all the unfaithful people in the world, all the unreliable people that you and I know, all the people that we have trusted in and then got burned, let's just turn this back and talk about us, because I think this is an opportunity that we have our own performance in view as well. Am I a faithful, reliable person? With God's help, we want to be, but we also know probably every one of us have a little work to do. That God calls us in whatever venue of life that we're in, that we are faithful to that. We're faithful to our spouse. We're faithful in being the parent to our children. We're faithful to our employer. We're faithful to our employees. We're a faithful citizen. We're a faithful part of the church. Are we people that God can count on, that others can count on? This gives you an opportunity just to remind ourselves, I don't want to be the sore tooth causer or the out of joint causer in someone else's life, do you? May God help us to just come back to that reality of where we should be. Now, go back to chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. And I didn't want to spend too much time on the negative because there is so much positive for us here in front of us. And we understand. Okay? Not everyone is unreliable. Not everybody is reliable. But even people who are reliable and faithful, they are not perfect. God alone occupies the space of the perfect. And we can have our confidence derived from Him. Look at verse 26, chapter 3, Proverbs. For the Lord will be your confidence. Frankly, I could sum up everything we've talked about in these 3 weeks together, and we'll go a little bit further up to our family series talking about confidence. But there it is. The Lord will be your confidence. That's where it comes from. Confidence comes from trusting in this God, trusting in a faithful God that is always reliable in life. You can count on Him. He is faithful. Where do we get this confidence in life? It's not just putting on some act from the outside. If I could act like I'm, you know, everything's all cool and everything's under control and I know everything right to say and I got the right look and the right demeanor. No. It comes much deeper than that in reality. It comes from knowing that God is God, and if you are, that you are one of His children. Everything else tends to snap in place from that reality. And God provides. Well, when it says the Lord is your confidence, notice what it says will be the result, the end of the verse, the couplet that goes with it, the end of 26. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. A lot about feet in these verses, isn't there? But being caught. In their day, that if you were a hunter, you didn't take your shotgun or your rifle that you spent thousands of dollars for and your camo gear and go out and climb up a tree and hang there all day freezing to death to get your game. You can kind of tell how much of a hunter I am. But you would set a trap for your game if you were going to try to hunt or to get game. And one of the common ways you would do that would be to dig a pit and then cover it over with brush or everything so that it didn't look like there was a hole in the ground. And you would put some bait out there on it so the animal sniffing the bait would come out. The weight of the animal would fall through and it couldn't get out. And you would come along and check your traps. There's an animal in it. You had a successful day in your hunting endeavor. Most of us now feel sorry for the animal in the hole. But that's the metaphor. That's the picture. He says, the Lord is your confidence. He will keep your foot from stepping in the holes, from taking that wrong step. And you understand, don't you, how one brief moment, one simple step, unguarded, uncontrolled by the Lord, out of the bounds of God's will, one step, that step may just take a few moments, but the consequences can be lasting. One out of step with the wrong person, wrong place, wrong thing, wrong desires, and suddenly, boom, your foot is caught, and you're in trouble. Now, I'm glad God is in the business of pulling people out of pits, aren't you? That God can save us and God can restore us and God can forgive us. Now, sometimes even with the forgiveness, we're restored, but sometimes the consequences of that step can go on longer. But you understand. So if you don't want to be stepping in the pit, if you don't want to get your foot caught, what do? It says, the Lord will be your confidence. You just know that He is there. You trust in Him. Let's break that down a little further if we can this morning. First of all, that means you need to trust in the Lord's character, of who He is, of what you know about the kind of person our God is. And then you take the issues of life and you make sure that they are overlaid with the characteristics of God. You have some fears, make sure that that is swallowed up in a God who is faithful. You have some cares and concerns in the world, make sure that that is pushed aside by a God who is kind. When you feel all alone, find your stability and your confidence in a God who is omnipresent, who's everywhere present. When you wonder which way to go, right, left, or forward, or backward, or stop, when you have the questions of life, what do I do? You fall back on the omniscience of God. He knows everything there is to know. And when you find yourself in one of those jams where there seems to be no way out, you just fall into the omnipotence of God, that He is Lord God Almighty. May God just help us to come back to this reality, that when the storms come blowing in life, that we are just absolutely shipwrecked and marooned upon the sovereignty of God who controls all things. That we just, it's His character. It's who He is. A few weeks ago, we were in Virginia, Julie and I. We're there for the arrival of our eighth grandchild, our granddaughter. And I've already shown you pictures. I'm not going to show you any more. I do have some if you want to see them. But my son, Brandon, the two older ones, one is 4 and one is 2, we had a nice afternoon together. They said, there's a little park nearby. Let's take the boys out and let them ride their bikes. So we went to this park, and basically there was just this paved walkway that went about a half a mile to nowhere out in the middle of the woods. And then you'd pedal out there and turn around and come back. I always thought a trail should come back around somewhere, but just, we were way out there. Well, we're way out there with the kids on their bikes and little helmets and all that stuff. And suddenly here the clouds start getting darker. And then there's a raindrop and you hear it hitting in the trees. And okay, boys, let's head back. So Brandon was taking care of the older one, the four-year-old, and he could pedal fairly fast. And when you're a two-year-old and you're riding a bike with training wheels and your wheels are about this big, you go one speed, and it's called slow. And I'm like this, you know, and now it's starting to rain on my hat. And come on, Benai, let's go, one speed. And I'm getting, come on. And finally, it's really starting to threaten and rain. And then about the last quarter of a mile, I've got a two-year-old under this arm and a bike under this arm. And here we go. And I'm frustrated at that point. And finally, we get back to the parking lot where their van was. And it has one of those vans that come up, you know. And so we're kind of hung, you know, under this. And my shoes, these are the only tennis shoes I got. And they're now wet. And I'm like, I'm just not feeling good. And then my son turns to the boy and says, hey, boys, you want to take your shoes off and play in the rain? And of course, off they go. And they're out there having a great time in the rain. And then this other minivan pulls up with a mother in it and two girls. And suddenly the door pops open. They had their shoes and socks off. And they go start playing in the rain. I wish I had asked the mother. You know, it's like, what kind of insanity caused you to just to pull over and turn your kids out randomly in the rain with strangers? But then I got to thinking, it's all perspective, isn't it? For a kid, this was the greatest day ever. For grouchy old grandpa, not so much. But when you realize that God either sends the storms or withholds the storms, it's His character. If you can count on Him. With God's help, I hope you'll join me in this. Next time God sends a storm blowing your way, kick off your shoes and dance in the rain. But just come to this reality that, Lord, you sent it. You know it. You're in charge. Let's just enjoy it. Because somehow you're mixed up in this whole crazy experience called life. You can count on His character. Count on His character. Secondly, count on His ability. Trust in our Lord's ability. He can do anything. You know, sometimes we throw around a phrase like, He is the Lord God Almighty. That's easy to say, isn't it? We believe it. I mean, we're doctrinally correct to believe that God is the Almighty God. He can do anything He wants. This is the one, the Lord, this Almighty God will be your confidence. But when it comes to those moments in life, when there's an abrasive interface with life, when it starts to hurt and when it's dangerous and when it's difficult, it's at that moment we have to say, Lord, You're able. You can do anything. You're the God that spoke everything into existence. A few years ago on Sunday nights, I did a series. It was a lot of fun for me. We looked at all the jail stories of the Bible. There's a lot of them. You got Joseph in prison. You got Peter in prison. You got, all through the Bible, people were getting thrown in jail. And more than once, God engineers a classic God-derived jailbreak. And God is just able to do that. Sometimes we feel all locked up. Nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Trust in God's ability. He is there. Now, let me also say this to you. It's fine to say trusting in a faithful God is the reliable thing to count on and to trust in. And for us as believers, when the storm comes, go dance in the rain. But maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're on the outside looking in. You've never come to faith. You need to find a place to rest. I want to take you to an old song. It's in your hymnals. It's 405. And I just ran into these lyrics again and some of these beautiful old songs that we've sung or we know. But I want to borrow the lyrics from the song. I'm not going to sing so you can relax. But listen carefully, especially if the destiny of your eternal soul was in question, if you don't have assurance and confidence that if your life ended right now, that you're stepping into heaven, listen. Old song, my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation in his blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And Jesus died for me. Friend, have you found that resting place for your soul? It is only found. It is only found that Jesus died for you. There's no other hope. There's no other way. Can't be good enough. There is no fine print and escape clause in the great contract of salvation. It is only, fully, finally in what Jesus did. And how we transact that, is to simply to come to the point that we accept it. That's for me. I believe it. I trust in that. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ, maybe there's a Christian friend you've come with that you could talk to if you need further information or need to process this. You feel free to talk to one of us as a pastors or in leadership here. But maybe you just need to come to that place. You do need to come to that place. And maybe today's the day where you just come and say, I don't need any other argument. I need no other plea. And you say, for you, it is enough that Jesus died and died for me. That invitation is for you. Now, for us as believers, trust in the Lord's ability. Your confidence, the Lord will be your confidence. So a little exercise for you. Everybody sit up straight now. We're about halfway through. We're actually a little more than halfway through, so maybe you need this. Take a deep breath. And roll your shoulders a little bit. Just kind of relax there a moment. If the person next to you is really looking stressed, just look at them next to them and say, will you please relax? You can do that if you want to. Just relax. Rest in him. Trust in the Lord's ability. Trust in his character. I would not like to calculate how many hours of my life I have wasted and how many opportunities did not come to fruition because I was stressed out about this and worried about that. And I'm a person that oftentimes has a hard time relaxing. On to the next thing, this, get out of here, bracing for impact, you know. Just relax, rest in him. He's God. And when you can just dance in the rain in the storms of life, maybe someone will come pulling up in their minivan beside you and say, I want some of that. You could tell them about the Savior. One last place. It's found in the 14th chapter of Proverbs. There's one more way that we sort of interact with this confidence and how we relate to God. It's found in verse 26, 14:26. And you'll see the word confidence tucked right into the verse as you cast your eyes on it in your copy of the Bible. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Place where, doesn't that sound good? A place where you can just go and relax and be safe and confident and secure. Well, here's where it all begins, in the fear of the Lord. And notice it's not just confidence. Make sure you see the modifier there in the sentence. There is strong confidence. This is not just sort of wishy-washy, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. This is strong confidence. This is resilient. This is lasting. This is iron bar tough kind of confidence. And how do we relate to that? Well, trusting in God requires some faithful reverence on our part. That's that fear of the Lord, that we treat God as God, that we relate to him as God, that we honor him. And yes, part of that is some fear. Fear of knowing that if I violate his principles and his commands, he can chasten, he can correct. There will be consequences for that. But on the other hand, there's this sense in which we fear him and we honor him as we do the right thing. It requires this kind of reverence. And part of that is just, when you read God's word, just be obedient to it. In the life group that Julie and I are part of, we've been studying the book of James together, and we just finished it this week. And the last part of James, in chapter 5, one of the things James talks about is to not retaliate when people do mistreat you, when they do you wrong. And that's easy to say. And most of us are well practiced at outwardly not retaliating. I mean, you just don't go out and punch someone in the nose as a normal course of business. But on the inside, have you ever played those little scenarios? Oh, I hope they just know. I really wish if I had the opportunity, I'd say. And you just play this little internal game. And talk about non-productive. Talk about a waste of time. And there's a verse in Romans that we looked at, Romans 12:19, where Paul writes, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." And as we were talking about this in our group, I'm just thinking, it doesn't feel like what I normally want to do, but that's how you reverence God. That's how you fear Him. Just say, "Lord, I'm going to just turn this over to You. Did they mistreat me? Did they mean something wrong? Whatever. You're much better at taking care of that than I am. And if You promise to take care of it, why am I worrying about it? Leave it in Your hands." I've wasted a little bit of time in that little scenario too. And maybe you have as well. So truly know Him as He is. Find out what this book says about Him. And see Him as He is. And just come to this, that you treat Him in walking in obedience and the avoidance of sin in life, of allowing the Spirit to change us, to grow, to participate in the body of Christ, to try to be an example and a light in the midst of this dark world in which we inhabit. And as we do, we reverence God and truly honor Him for who He is. Part of that plays out in what we've gathered to do in this service and the one that preceded it, to just gather our people together, to gather God's people together, and we just worship Him, we praise Him in song and with giving and of just being together and listening to His Word and drawing strength from it. Friends, you can have confidence. You can have, as it says right here in front of me in verse 26, you can have strong confidence. If you know the Lord as He is and you honor Him as the God that He is, as we come to Him knowing His ability and knowing His character and avoiding putting confidence in unfaithful people. We've wasted some time with that, many of us, looking for that person to be all that I need, for those people to give me love, for that group to give me affirmation, for things in life and people around me to do as I think they should. And sometimes we're left wanting when we go down those little scenarios. When God says, "The Lord is your confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. He'll give you a refuge. He'll keep your foot from being caught. You're not going to have any bad tooth or bad feet experiences in life because your confidence is in Him." To find safety and security, honor the God who alone is the only God there is. May God help us to do that today and going forward. Would you join me as we pray about that? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this opportunity to just spend a few moments looking at what You have to say where You reference confidence. Lord, we know it from Scripture because it is true. We also know it from life because we've experienced it. We put confidence in unfaithful, unreliable people, and we have felt the pain of the result. But Lord, in You, our Lord, there is confidence. And in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Lord, help us to find our safety, our security, are all in You.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.